Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning and thank you for the opportunity to be here and speak your word. And Lord, I ask you that you present this word that we're going to talk about today to your honor and glory, that you will speak through me. This isn't my message. This is what you have prepared in my heart and in my mind to speak on your behalf today. Lord, I ask you to want to be glorified unto you. In thy precious name, amen. I'm going to bring you back to Exodus chapter 15 today to talk about the Israelites and how they complained going back. So if you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15, starting with verse 22. It says, then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Sur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? You know, that's reminds me, I need to take a drink. You know, as we look at that instance, it says 3 days. Here the Israelites had, it doesn't take long for people to change their mind, does it? It doesn't take long for people to change their disposition on things. Here the Israelites, if you had asked them 4 days earlier, as they were leaving out of Egypt after being in slavery for over 430 years, which is almost double of what our country has even been around, they were leaving, over 600,000 of them, and as they're leaving, they'd ask the people, how's it going? They'd be saying, it's going great. We get to leave Egypt, we get to leave the Pharaoh, we get to do whatever we want now. God is bringing us to the promised land. We're heading out. And as they're walking along and they're joyous and having a great time, all of a sudden they come across a big body of water called the Red Sea. And they see the dust in the background, and they start, I'm sure they start to wonder what's going to happen. And God spread their Red Sea, allowed them to walk through, closed the sea down. Pharaoh was taken care of. There's no way he's catching up. So here they are, everything's all good, and they start walking again. They walk for 3 days, it says. 3 days, they're all happy. The first day, the second day, they're probably not so happy. The third day, they're probably really not happy because it says they start grumbling because there's no water. So what does God do? He gives Moses a stick to throw in the water and makes the water sweet so they can drink the water. So then they're happy again, and they start going. And for 2 more months, they're pretty happy, pretty satisfied. Then we find in Exodus 16:2, they get to a point where they aren't getting enough, they don't have enough food anymore. It says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You know, it's so easy for us to turn. You know, we talk about where are some things we don't like about things. Do you ever notice that the majority of our conversations in life is about the weather? You know, I walk into JT's, and we say, hi, how's it going, you know, and what's the next thing we talk about? The weather. We look out, see the bank, see what the temperature is, you see it raining, see it windy, see it blowing, you know. It's one of those things that we all talk about is the weather. Everybody has an opinion about the weather. When I was carry out as one of the managers of Hugo's and Thief River, we carried out groceries. And I remember this one instance where I was carrying out groceries for this lady. And when you have a conversation with the person, trying to make the person feel good, and you know, you want a good representation of Hugo's and a lasting impression when they leave that they're happy. So I was talking, and we talked about the weather, and no matter what I said, she was not happy. It was too windy because her hair just got done. It was too hot because she was sweating. it was going to rain that afternoon. Everything possible, I said. That's when I realized sometimes some people just are not happy in life. So, you know, I want you to try to picture something with me as we talk about summer. It's great to talk about summer now when it's 5 degrees outside. It makes us feel nice and warm. And it's nice and warm in here, so we can kind of imagine it. But imagine yourself sitting outside on a summer day. It's probably 80s degrees. It's a beautiful, not a cloud in the sky. And you decide, you know what? I'm gonna worship the Lord right now. I'm gonna have some devotions. And so you open up your Bible and you start reading. And as you're sitting there, your mind starts to wander a little bit, and you're starting to think, what did I do here? Because now all of a sudden the sweat's starting to come down your face and starting to drip on your Bible. And all of a sudden you're starting to feel the little black flies start to bite you. And you're starting to realize that it's a little humid outside and there's not as much breeze as you thought it was. So you go and move yourself to the shade. Figure, well, be better off in the shade. Well, then you find out that the breeze that there was out there was kind of warm breeze. And the black flies have kind of disappeared, but now you got something buzzing in your ear called a mosquito. And you start to wonder, why did I ever go here? Why did I ever start to worship? And all of a sudden the wind blows and your Bible flips open and it ends up on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, where it says this, "And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel." Now that would be a wake-up call. That would be God telling you right then and there that, you know what? Things aren't always that bad. It could be a lot worse. You know, you can always look at the glass half full or the glass half empty. It's only your perspective and your attitude in your life. You know, we talked about the Beatitudes of being happy. It's not of how you respond to things. It's how you respond to them. It's not a response to what is taking place. It's an attitude of your heart and of your mind and of your soul to be happy. You know, I shared with them earlier, I love mornings. I love to wake up in the morning and I love to have a smile face, and that's probably because that's what my dad always told me. He says, you can be out as late as you want, but if I wake you up, you better have a smile on your face. And so that's maybe why that ever happened. I don't know. But I like to wake up in the morning, but now my day starts out really high, and it just slowly kind of drifts all the way down until the end of the day. 10 o'clock at night, man, I'm wiped. It's time for go to bed and get rejuvenated. But when I get up in the morning, I like a new day. And that doesn't always happen. I'm not 100%. I mean, there's times I don't feel good either. I mean, there's times I don't want to get out of bed as well. But I like mornings. And I remember Sunday mornings going into my kids' room and waking them up. You know, I loved to wake my kids up. They didn't love to see me. Because we had what we called the tow truck. I'd go in there and I'd tickle them to wake them up. So, and that's probably something that wouldn't go very good in some areas of life. But it worked good. It got them out of bed. So, you know, as we look at different things, there was a person that was talking about, he was a guide at the Blarney Castle in Ireland. I hope I'm saying that right. But he had some visitors come, and it was his job to make it a pleasant time, giving them this tour of this castle, make it pleasant. And he told that he had a group of people he was giving a tour to, and he shared with them about another group that he just had given to not too long before that were very disgruntled tourists and had been at the castle earlier that week. And he goes on to say, these people complained about everything. They didn't like the weather. They didn't like the food. They didn't like the tour. They didn't like their hotel. The prices were too high. They went on and on about everything that went on. And to top it all off, they came to the Blarney Stone, where you're supposed to be able to kiss it and give good luck. Well, they get there, and it's roped off because they're working on, they're doing some repairs on the area. And the leader of the group, you know, the kind of the head complainer of the whole group, she went on to say, man, this is the last straw. We've come all this way. We've had bad things happen to us all the way. And now we can't even see the stone and kiss the stone. Well, the tour guide, he thought a moment. He said, well, you know, it's just as good luck to kiss a person that has kissed the stone as same as kissing a stone. And she goes on, she goes, so I suppose you're going to tell us that you've kissed the stone. He goes, no, but I've sat on it. So, you know, be careful sometimes of what you complain about in life. But that also brings us to Ephesians, what the topic of today is. That Ephesians 4:29. If you turn with me there, Ephesians 4:29. And it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that may benefit those who listen. You know, what should we do? You know, we've had a little fun talking about different things here. But what's more important is what our relationship is with God. You know, Ephesians 4:29 talks about let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Can we separate ourselves as Christians? Can you and I today separate ourselves from those people that have no purpose in life? That have no way, no set walk in life. That's why they're complaining. You know, I was watching a little something on ESPN. They're talking about, it was outside the lines, they're talking about referees and coaches and how they act towards each other. And, you know, a lot of times the coach is just ranting or raving at the referee. It has nothing to do with what the referee called. It's just a way for him to vent because his team is doing so bad. He is taking it out on a referee instead of taking it out on his team. Sometimes that's what life is like. Sometimes people are out there, they're complaining, they're yelling and ranting and raving at you, but they're unhappy with what's happening in their own lives and the situation around them. You know, how can we as Christians help that? Well, we can have a positive attitude. We can show a difference by the way we act, the way we present ourselves. You know, a smile is contagious. Sometimes it works if you smile and laugh a little bit. It'll move on and help somebody's disposition in some areas. You know, if you do enough of that, people will start to ask questions about your attitude. You know, a lot of you that have been in a workplace have seen this at some point in time in your life. You know, in the job industry I work in the construction industry, there's a lot of bad words used, a lot of situations in life, and Randy probably understands some of this. it is not a real good situation for a Christian to be a part of sometimes. But I've had on many occasions people just ask, why? What's different about you? What's happening? I mean, just because of your attitude, I haven't shared nothing with them about this gospel. I haven't shared nothing with them, but my life has shared that to them. And they understand that. I remember a few years after I was done being a pastor in May Bay and doing landscape, I was in a truck with one of the guys from Crooks and Water Department. And we're sitting there talking, and he goes, you are a pastor, right? And I said, yeah. He goes, he started asking me questions about creation and the Bible. It was the first time I had a chance to really just visit with him. I never brought it out, but he had known and he'd seen a difference, and he started asking questions. It was a fun time just to visit with him. That's what happens in life with every one of us has the opportunity. It doesn't mean just me. That's also you young people that are in school. You have the same opportunity as we do to share the gospel by your attitude and the way you present yourself to the other young people around you. It's an awesome experience to feel that. You know, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'll just share this. I remember there was an illustration of a young person getting, she wanted to know what it was like. She wanted God to use her in life. And she came across, and many things happened during the day. She came and got to her locker, and someone came to talk to her, and she was late for class, so she had no time to talk to that person. She went running off to class, and many different situations like that during the day, where people came and sat by her lunch and wanted to talk, but she was so busy, she couldn't talk. But when the day came to the end, she had a FedEx from God. You know, Mark might have delivered it to her, I don't know. It was a FedEx from God. And she opened it up. She's excited because this is the opportunity that she had that she'd been waiting for. And in the paper, and she pulled out the paper from the FedEx, and God said, you know, I gave you all these opportunities all day long, and you missed them. You know, that's what our lives are like. That's what the young people's lives are like. That's what every one of our lives are like. We're asking God to present things for us to show Him to someone else. And a lot of times we're so hurried, we're so busy, we don't take the opportunity, don't take the time to understand that and show that. And God is sending us that FedEx saying, I gave you that opportunity and you didn't do nothing with it. So how's it going? It's a common phrase that you use when you meet with people. It's funny because I wanted to share this earlier, but I couldn't figure out how to work this in, but I'll share it now. It's simply, you know, when I come up and I'm going to meet somebody, and that's, you know, I'll just use Gary. I know you're there, but I'm going to use you here, sorry. But, you know, I come up and say, hi, Gary, how's it going? And you say, good, I'm already 15 feet away from you. You know, it's one of those responses of questions that you just offer the question out there, but you really don't care what he has to say. You really don't care what he has. You know, have you ever said something that kind of throws him off? You know, sometimes I say it's an awesome day, or sometimes I say I just have a crappy day to see if they even turn around. So, you know, but as how's it going? How's your response to God when he says, how's it going? Are you being honest with yourself? Are you being honest with God? Are you taking the time to look to God and to share your response with God? And more importantly, are you taking the time to listen to what he has to say to you? You know, how's it going? How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with the Lord? You know, do you complain all the time? You know, as you sit, you know, last fall, we went out to work on a job, and it was one of those days where it was like 32 degrees. It was getting to the end of the season, November or October. It must have been October because the leaves were still on the trees. We got out to this job, and it was cold. But we got this job, and the lake was just like, got to Maple Lake, and the lake was just like glass. And the trees across the way were all in full color, and a little haze on the ground. And I took a picture, and I sent it to my best friend from high school, and I said, this is my office for today. I mean, what more could you ask for? Sometimes you got to take a breath and say, wow, God, look what you do. Now, this wasn't an accident, like people say. It didn't just happen that way. There was a plan and there was a purpose, and God put this purpose there. There's a purpose why it's been so cold this winter. I don't know what that purpose is. But obviously there's a reason for it. God planned it. But you know, do you look for the mosquitoes of the world? Do you take in the mosquitoes of those little things that happen in life and through your day that are biting at you, they're taking care of you, they're nipping at you? And then there's a lot of things that can happen during a day that could be those little mosquitoes in life. You know, you have a flat tire on your way to work, or you get into the car and you take off and the gas tank isn't full, so now you got to stop, now I'm going to be late. You know, all these little things that can happen. You know, you can't find your shoes in time. You can't, you know, there's a ton of things. There are your mosquitoes in life. But are you looking at yourself instead of God? Have you ever had a relationship with God? Are you in a relationship with God? You know, it's very important to have that relationship. He'll help you through so many things in your day-to-day struggles. Now, I ask each one of you, because I know it's getting a little longer here now, and I want to make sure you're still with me. Why don't each one of you take your hands and go like this? Okay? Now, this represents the time from beginning to end. And as you look through that space, you see nothing, right? Because the spot, you can put your hands down. Thank you. You know, as you look through that space, you see, you pick a spot to look through there, that space would be so small in relevance to what this day represents in time. It would be smaller than a piece of hair. A day is just one day. I mean, I talked a little bit earlier about this country being around for a little over 200 years. You know, the Israelites were in slavery for over 400 years. Over double the time their country's even been around. So you look at time as a whole, one day, one year, one decade isn't a lot of time in the scope of what God has for us, what God has planned for us. But as we look at that, we have to look at our own lives too. You know, the most important thing is today, do you and do I, do we have a personal relationship with God? If you don't, today is the day. Today is the day you should be asking yourself, Lord, I want to be your child. I want to be your son, your daughter. I want you in here because I want to make a difference in my life and those around me. I want you to come in and show the sun and the beam of light through me to each person around. I want to change my attitude. And the only way I can change my attitude is having you in here. Because if you don't have him in here, the mosquitoes of life will eat you alive. And they will take you and they will drain your blood. And they'll take all life out of you. You need that off of protection that God can offer you 24 hours a day. So if you don't have that protection, if you don't have that personal relationship with Christ, seek out Pastor Dale today. Speak out one of the deacons today. Get a time that you can share. And even if you have a personal relationship with Christ and you're just not sure and you want to change your relationship with God, you want to change your attitude, and you want to recommit your life to God, seek out pastor, seek out one of the deacons. They'll help you. They'll work you through it. They'll pray with you. They'll listen to you. How many times don't we listen? Don't be like the the guy that's just walking by and you give an answer and he doesn't even hear you because he's walking, he's 15 feet away from you. Listen to God today and take your problems, take your ideas and take your life and mold it and take it and go to one of the deacons. Go to the pastor today and say, I need help. I want a personal relationship with Christ, just like I have a personal relationship with my best friend, like my spouse, my kids. That's the kind of relationship I want with my Lord and Savior. In closing today, I want to just bring you another little story about a cowboy. He was out west on a dirt road. He was traveling on his pickup. He had a big horse trailer behind him, and they were cruising along. And he failed to negotiate a curve very well and went off the curve. Went to just crashed, and everything was sprawled all out. And sometime later, a highway patrol officer comes up along, and an animal lover, he comes, he sees the horse has been thrown out of the horse trailer as in bad shape. Being the animal lover, he didn't want to see it in going through that problems anymore. So he takes out his revolver and puts it off its misery. He walks around, and the dog that was in the back of the pickup got thrown as well, and he's not doing well either. And he's like, you know, I have compassion on this animal. I can't see it suffer. So he takes his revolver out and shoots the dog. He walks around the pickup, and a little farther away, the guy driving the pickup is in the brush, and he's hurt bad. He's got ribs broken, his shoulders dismantled, his leg is quick. And the officer walks up and says, are you all right? Are you okay? And the cowboy looking at the officer, looking at his revolver with the smoke coming off, he says, I have never felt better. I have never felt better. You know, that's the way we should act as Christians sometimes. No matter what happens in life, someone comes and asks you, how are you doing? I have never felt better. I have never had a greater day because today is the day the Lord has made. And he has put this day, whether it be rainy, cloudy, cold, or hot, he has made this day because there's a purpose for it. And there's a reason because in the scope of our life, in the scope of all time, it's very, very small, that one day. And we have no idea what God has planned. We have no idea the future. So today, take a look at yourselves. Take a look at your attitude. Take a look at God and say, God, I want to change my attitude. I want you to be center of my life. And I want you to allow me to have a smile on my face and a good attitude every day that you've created. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for all the great things you've given to us. Most importantly, for the blessings that you've provided for me and for this church. I thank you so much for being a great God, an awesome God that has everything in control, that you have planned everything for us. Lord, just bless now this precious day. Amen.